Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm longtime investor Clayton Morris. I'm founder of the full-service rental real estate company called Morris Invest. And on this show, we answer your questions. This is our Q&A episode where we answer three of your questions. You can do that by leaving us a voicemail question by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Again, morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Try to keep your voicemail questions about 30 seconds or less. I should mention that we have our free, totally free, Freedom Number Cheat Sheet. It is the three-page PDF that has changed lives, thousands of lives. It's been downloaded hundreds of thousands of times, and it is the thing that changed my family's life. Once we understood our family's expenses and then how to build enough passive income to cover those expenses, that's the Freedom Number. So go and download it for free. It's on our website, totally free, and sit down with your spouse, your partner, sit down by yourself if you're single, and go through and figure out your family's expenses and then how to build passive income around that number to achieve financial freedom. So just go to morrisinvest.com/freedom to grab that cheat sheet. All right, we've got three great questions today from our listeners around real estate, taxes, et cetera, trailer parks, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So let's listen in. Here, Seth has our first question. Take it away, Seth.
Hello, Clayton. Thank you so much for your podcast and all that you do. You've helped me out so much. Okay, my question is, I am rather new. I'm a rookie to real estate investing. I have one property and ready to buy the second. I took a HELOC out of my primary residence and was curious to know, should I use the HELOC first or my savings that I have? I'll give you the numbers. I have $125,000 in the HELOC that's just sitting there waiting for a property and around $50,000, $60,000 in savings. Which should I use first to buy the next property? Just curious if you could help me out on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Seth. Very kind of you and congrats on your journey. And hey, a rookie, you sound like you're well ahead of the game, even as a rookie. Now, like I said, I always use our properties. Like we at Morris Invest, we build about 600 properties a year, new construction, single families and duplexes. Okay. And so I use that as a frame of reference because we spent a lot of time researching markets and all of our, you know, with our contractors and building materials and everything else. So my frame of reference is very specific. So forgive me, but a down payment on one of our properties, minimum down payment is going to be about $40,000, $45,000 down payment. Okay. So if I had a HELOC with $160,000, that's basically three down payments right there with that HELOC, three rental properties that are new construction and cash flowing from day one with financing built in, home equity line of credit. You've already gone ahead and done the smart thing, Seth. You've already gotten a home equity line of credit on the equity in your property that you know you cannot eat equity. So you're sitting on this primary residence equity. You can utilize that and buy rental properties. Now you're turning that equity that you're not doing anything with into cash flow. You know, now I'm just using those as a frame of reference. You can do whatever you want. Now you could take that $167,000 and blow it all on one property, you know, by, I don't know. I'm just saying there's different ways to skin a cat. I hate that phrase, but I don't know. Maybe is there a better phrase we can come up with instead of that? That's the way the cookie crumbles. I don't know. Anyway. So Seth, you have the opportunity to basically buy with my frame of reference. Like that's how I think of it, right? Like $50,000 down payment. That's like three down payments on rental properties that you're not, it's cash from a bank that they've given you. So to answer your question, I always want to keep my own money in my pocket. Whenever we talk with clients at Morris Invest for the first time, one of the things they'll say, well, I have $100,000 in cash, but I also have this home equity line of credit that's just sitting there. It's like, no, keep your cash, you know, build wealth using other people's money. Keep your money in your pocket to the best of your ability. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't use some of your cash also. You said that you had about, if memory serves, about 50 or 60 in cash. That's another down payment. So right there, that's four rental properties you could be getting using financing at ultra low interest rates right now from mortgage rates, which are, by the way, probably going to go up over the next year as inflation increases and the Federal Reserve starts to pull back on its tapering program and bond buying purchasing programs with Wall Street. So, you know, these ultra low interest rates, take advantage of them now. You've got the home equity line of credit. You've got, you've got the wherewithal to go out and get some additional financing right now on these rental properties. That's the road that I would take personally. I can't give you financial advice, as you know. I'm not a financial advisor, but if this were my situation and I had a home equity line of credit, you did it for a reason. You know, you can't eat that equity. Put that money to work, creating cash flow for you and your family. So Seth, as a rookie, I think you're going to have a fantastic rookie year. Really, I think you're doing great out of the gate. So thanks, Seth, for your question. All right, our next question comes to us from Jesse.
Hi, Clayton. My husband and I have an investor who is willing to go in on half with us with some rental properties. The only thing is he's pretty adamant on going in on a piece of land and putting a number of trailers on it to make it a trailer park setup. My question to you is if you have any insight on that and how profitable you believe that could be.
Okay, great question. A couple of things there, Jesse. Number one, you have to find out, first of all, if zoning is allowed. Governments, state governments, are just simply not allowing new trailer parks to be built. That's why they are so exciting and sexy for investors right now. Because basically state governments, city governments, county governments are not allowing new zoning for trailer parks. So now I don't know the situation. Maybe this investor has this piece of land and it's very easy for him or her to get this zoned properly. But that would be my number one question. Are you allowed to have this converted to a trailer park, this land? Chances are no. I mean, it's very, very rare that a state or county is going to allow the zoning. They're not building new trailer parks. They're virtually impossible to build right now. Therefore, the existing trailer parks are a pretty darn good investment if you understand how trailer park investing works. Now, I will say I have full interviews here on the channel. We will have a link in the description for you to go and check out some of our most recent trailer park interviews. I've got a couple of different ones, but the one that stands out to me most is a trailer park investor that I spoke with who he's really like a believer of like not doing flashiness. Like he basically gives you trailer park investing tips. He's like, it's not sexy. I'm going to break it down for you. There's a lot of fluff on the internet about like, yeah, trailer park investing. It's so fantastic. You got it. He's like, no, I'm going to cut through the smoke. And he just gives it to you straight. So I would check out that interview. We'll have a link to the, in the description below about that. So mobile home investing. Okay. Did you, first of all, let me just say, I think it is incredibly lucrative if you can do it correctly. Okay. The reason it's powerful is that you don't own the mobile homes themselves. So you can buy a piece of land and then the mobile homes can be placed on that land and it can have nothing to do with you. Now, the reason that I'm saying that, state governments and city governments they're not allowing you to build new ones. So very often investors are buying older mobile home parks and they're doing some upgrades and updates and stuff to the land and the amenities and things like that. But the person comes in and they buy the mobile home and now they're leasing the land from you and they're paying rent on the land to you as a landlord. So there's a lot less overhead as a landlord of a mobile home park. If you think about it, roughly 5.5% of the US population, 17 million people live in mobile homes. They offer, obviously they're lower cost. It's cheaper for a family to live there. Obviously we have a housing crisis in the United States right now. We have an affordable housing crisis. So mobile homes are really at the forefront of being affordable. It can be really lucrative. It's a niche that can provide about 7 to 10% cap rate overall. So it can be lucrative. You just have to do it correctly. But again, I would come back to the first question. He wants you to buy a piece of land. He wants to go in on it 50-50 with you, and he wants to build a mobile home park. That's a lot of like what ifs. Does he have experience building a mobile home park? I would talk to him about saying, wait a second, We have a single family housing crisis in the United States. What if we invested in single family homes instead of doing something that maybe neither of you even have experience doing? Getting land, getting it zoned properly, building mobile homes on it, or putting mobile homes on it. That's an added expense instead of just acquiring a rental property. Again, a lot of things to think about with that. I just would be leery of that kind of situation. I think there's in many ways better ways to get started with real estate investing. But I'd love to hear your progress on this, Jesse. So send me a follow-up phone call over the next few months. I'd love to hear sort of the next stages of this for you. Today's episode is brought to you by Crowd Health. Look, I don't need to tell you how broken our health system is in the United States. It really is a disaster. It's like being stuck with an outdated cable TV plan and not knowing about Netflix. That's like what the American healthcare system is like. And there is a better way. Crowd Health isn't just a health insurance. It's a better way to pay medical expenses. Crowd Health is a community of people who are tired of paying for a broken system. It's a place where you can get a simple, flexible, and affordable way to pay for your healthcare. Being in the Crowd Health community can save you hundreds of dollars monthly and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. I've been so excited about Crowd Health. I've told our audience about it, and I've gotten emails from you telling me what a lifesaver this has been. I mean, literally saving hundreds of dollars a month just by trying Crowd Health. I mean, membership is a monthly subscription. Stop or start whenever it's convenient for you. It's simple and transparent pricing, customized to fit your needs. Crowd Health lowers your monthly healthcare costs, and you can see any doctor that you want. Using their app, it's simple. You find any doctor in the country, rank from 1 star to 5 stars, scan your bills, and throw them away. Crowd Health takes it from there. Press a button to receive virtual care anytime, anywhere. And membership, super simple, a community of health conscious members who want to get and stay healthy in return for lower prices. Crowd Health gets rid of the insurance middleman and passes the savings on to its members. In fact, 100% of your monthly membership pays for actual healthcare costs, helping the whole Crowd Health community stay healthy while keeping more money in your pocket. You know, you just got to think about all the realtors out there, right, who are listening to this show. Wouldn't this be a game changer for you to be able to save that much money on your health insurance? I mean, it's amazing. Crowd Health is able to offer amazing prices because it's a community of health conscious members, but they have an amazing offer just for my listeners. Get your first 6 months for just $99 a month. That's a savings of almost 50% versus their standard pricing and a lot less than one of those crappy high deductible plans. Just go to joincrowdhealth.com/99. That's 99 to get that $99 deal. Okay, again, let me give you the URL. Write this down. It's joincrowdhealth.com, joincrowdhealth.com/99. And then when you're there, all you need to do is enter the code investing when you're signing up. Again, that's joincrowdhealth.com/99, promo code investing. Crowd Health is not health insurance. It's a community-powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply. All right, our next question comes to us from Peter.
Okay, so here's a question. If you have IRS debt, would you pay off the IRS or would you buy a rental cash flow property that cash flows enough every month to meet the payments plus a little extra to pay off the IRS with time?
Thank you, Peter. Sound like you were on hold there. Like, sounds like you're making two phone calls, one to me, and you're on hold with the IRS or something for 10 hours. Because have you ever tried to call the IRS? Oh my God, good luck with that. Even though they hired 4,000 additional people during the pandemic, they're still not answering the phone. It's ridiculous. This is the United States of America, supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and they won't even answer the phone at the IRS. But they're quick to audit you, aren't they? They're quick to come after you if they need money. Right. But if they made a mistake and you need to get a hold of them, boy, good luck with that. Right. Don't get me started. So, Peter, look, I'm not a financial advisor and I'm certainly not a lawyer, but I will say that you do not want the IRS breathing down your neck. If you owe the IRS something, like, that should be a priority. Now, the way that you talked about it, though, sounds like they've agreed to do some sort of a payment plan with you. And if they've agreed to that, and you have the opportunity to acquire a rental property that will cover those payments, then who am I to say, go for it, right? So now you're able to buy an asset that's that's providing monthly cash flow, and that monthly cash flow goes towards the payment plan that the IRS has already agreed to with you. Great. You just need to make sure that your numbers make sense. You know, when you're investing in this real estate, like, please be sure that your numbers on this investment property really make sense. Make sure you're doing your due diligence. We have a full video series here on exactly what we look for in our rental markets before we even think about going in and building our new construction properties, placing tenants with our property management team, all of those things. Please, please, please make sure you're not just giving to chance, I guess is what I'm saying. Like someone told you, hey, Peter, I've got this investment property. Cash flows $1,200 a month. I already did all the work on it. The tenant's great. You want to buy it? Sure. Like, and that's the numbers you're going off of. Then I first of all want to see, okay, let me see a rent roll. Show me the history of this tenant paying. Show me like all the repairs and construction receipts and things like that that you did on the property. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want you to do your due diligence because I don't want the IRS coming after you. Like if you're counting on that as income, please, please, please be careful. But yes, look, you know, I'm all for using the system. Right. And if they've come to you and said, we can do a payment plan here at the IRS and you have the opportunity to create cash flow and add to your net assets and build a portfolio of rental properties, by all means, go for it. I would personally, but I really want to make sure my numbers make sense. So again, watch the videos we have on the channel about what we look for in a rental market. We will have a link in the description below for you to click on that video and watch it. What we look for as far as crime, low vacancies, landlord friendly, all of those things. That's what we do at Morris Invest. Okay. So please make sure those numbers make sense. I don't want the IRS coming after you because you made a bad investment. Okay. you overestimated your cash flow. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, my friend. Well, thank you, Peter, for that question. I think there's also some things to consider, too, on the credit issue side, too. You don't want to have an outstanding tax bill. It could really affect your credit or some sort of an IRS-related thing on your overall credit score can really affect you. So please make sure that you take care of those things. You don't want that to ruin your credit chances with all this amazing financing we have available right now. All right. If you would like to leave us a voicemail question, you can do so by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Leave us a 30-second message. If you'd be so kind, try to keep them short and sweet, and we will attempt to answer them here on the show. So thanks to Seth and Jesse and Peter for all your great questions today. I hope I was able to provide some value in this. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.